On the show today, we have internationally acclaimed economist Elliot Eisenberg giving us the latest on coronavirus and how it's impacting our economy, not only globally, but domestically as well. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have a very special guest, Mr. Elliot Eisenberg, the bow tie economist. Actually, you're an internationally acclaimed economist. So how are things going before we dive into the interview, Elliot? How are you?
Hey, this is a pretty crazy time right now. The markets are having certainly some indigestion over essentially coronavirus uncertainty. We don't know how bad it will be, how long it will last, how deep any problems will be. So we're all thinking the worst.
Yeah, it seems like we're kind of in uncharted territory here. But so, I mean, what is going on right now? Is there any clarity that you can provide folks out there with the economy? I think we can start globally and then bring it back domestically. Is there any clarity right now, or are we still just kind of in a cloud right now?
We're in a cloud right now. The clarity is all clouds go away eventually. All clouds end. We eventually feel better eventually, and we realize that the world's not coming to an end, and we recover from all recessions, right? That's the most important thing to remember at times like this. It really is.
Right. And so on a global scale, what's going on, especially in Southeast Asia? Because that's like where a lot of production happens on the planet. So what's going on over there that you can share with us?
I mean, it looks like China's starting to get a better hang of the whole situation right now. And the number of deaths and the number of cases is rapidly declining. They quarantined themselves and so on. So it looks like the worst may well be over.
Okay.
But now we're focusing on Italy, of course. But before China fully ramps back up, this will be a long time. There are a lot of migrant workers, hundreds of millions of migrant workers there. And before they can get back to work, they have to go to their ultimate destination where they work, from where they live, and spend 2 or 3 weeks in a quarantine there as well. So we're talking easily another month. And a lot of things that we use here have critical components, including medical supplies, that come from China. And then, of course, they have to ship them across the ocean, which takes another bunch of weeks. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at several months before things really return to normal under the best conditions.
And so, and you mentioned Italy, because that's a whole other story in itself. How is what's going on over there? How is that reverberating or rippling toward everybody else on the planet, especially us here in the United States?
In a couple different ways. One, Italy is much more like the U.S. in terms of a Western, a democratic, advanced, rich economy. So we can learn more from what's going on in Italy, and it's much more transferable to us, if you will, than what happened in China. So that's one thing. The second thing is Italy's very tied into European supply chains. So German automobile manufacturers, for example, are heavily buy a lot of parts from Italy. Okay. And of course, luxury goods purchases, which are purchased a lot by Chinese, now are going to be hit very hard because many of them are made in Italy or manufactured or designed, and lots of production or assembly takes place in Italy. So Italy is certainly going to go into a recession. There's no question. And prior to this coronavirus, we already had Japan that was doing poorly because of some very bad fiscal policy decisions and an unfortunate typhoon that hit them. Now they've got corona. So they're probably going to go into recession. Germany was growing very weakly, as was France and Great Britain. So the expectation is Europe will now, if they weren't planning on going into recession, this corona could well tip them over. They were already weak. It wasn't that corona was such a massive shock, but a little shock when you're already down could well put you into recession. So Italy matters for a bunch of reasons.
Sounds like it expedited the whole situation over there for sure.
So well said. Propelled, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So let's bring it back home to our shores in the United States. What's going on in our neck of the woods here that you can provide us?
My gosh, on an objective basis, not much is really happening. I don't think we have a handle on how many people have coronavirus. We know there have been about 22 or 23 deaths is the latest number that we've got. I think that means that the number of Americans infected with corona is probably in the mid-2000s, because we know the death rate's about 1% outside of Wuhan, where things were really chaotic and the Chinese deliberately suppressed information and didn't inform the population. But elsewhere, it's about 1%. So I think the number of Americans with the virus is about 5 times higher. But there hasn't been any really deep outbreaks here in the U.S.
Right.
It doesn't mean it won't come. But to date, if the U.S. were the planet all by itself, I'd say that we shouldn't be reacting much from what we see on our shores. Of course, it's more complicated because of supply chains and contagion and travel and so on. But so far, knock on wood, it's been very mild.
So let's get to the emergency rate reduction. So how does this, I mean, just from the just the general public out there, how does this help fight the virus? What is this, what does it do?
Well, you know, when you have a hammer, you look at the world as a bunch of nails. And the central bank says, what can we do? All we can do is lower rates. So let's lower rates. And kidding aside, of course, it's not going to bring back the Indian Wells tennis tournament that was just canceled. Right. It's not going to bring back the South by Southwest event in Austin that was canceled. And all the other trips that were canceled. My sister is now on lockdown where she works because she's at home because someone there had coronavirus. So everyone's being nervous and so on and so forth. And the state's now called her and told her. So the central bank is completely aware, and they said in their statement last week, an emergency statement, they essentially begged Congress for fiscal stimulus. So if the central bank does what it can do, and that causes Congress to do more on the fiscal policy side, that would be good. But even if Congress doesn't do something, and they should, even if they don't, lowering of rates will ameliorate tight financial conditions. And I bet the central bank is going to lower rates again. And they meet this week or next. I can't remember what day exactly, but I bet they're going to lower rates by another 25 or 50 bips again, because it's all they can do. And if it delays banks, or not banks, but credit unions, if it delays companies from having a day of reckoning on their, you know, cash flow, or if it ameliorates their bankruptcy delay a little bit until things get better, that's good. Okay. Delay is a good thing here, but postpones things were good.
And now let's talk about the recession rumors that go on our shores. Obviously, it's happening in Europe. It's going to happen, like you said. But so is this virus going to speed things up as far as a reset? Because I heard things aren't going to happen. Nothing's really going to happen until after the elections. So would this happen sooner, or is this just kind of pie in the sky thinking?
The recession probabilities have easily doubled. They've gone from, say, the mid-20s to the mid-40s or upper 40s. This is not a joke.
Okay.
And it's more a case of, it's going to be, if you get the recession, it will be caused more so by recession elsewhere drifting onto our shores.
Yeah.
You know, if Europe falls enough and China falls enough and Japan falls enough, exports to those countries fall, imports become difficult because you can't get parts. That causes workers to get laid off here. Now, there are some saving graces. One, interest rates are super low. Gas prices are collapsing because of the price war between Saudi Arabia and China, Russia, that just happened over the weekend. So there's some mitigating factors, and the U.S. is not a major manufacturer. We don't manufacture a lot of stuff.
Right.
Airframes aside, there's not a lot, and even Boeing's now on hiatus, if you will, because of the 737 MAX. So the impact there is much reduced, but growth is already slow before, you know, come, you know, Jan, Feb, before Corona hit. GDP growth wasn't particularly robust. It was sub 2%. So a small hit or a meaningful hit could knock us off stride. At this point, I expect Q1 and Q2, the growth overall net out, to be about zero.
Okay.
Q1 may be a little better, let's say 0.5%, and Q2 maybe negative 0.5% ballpark, which is zero. And then Q3, hopefully by then, by the end of June or July, we begin to get out of this process.
Okay.
That's sort of the best case scenario. I'm still reasonably sticking to it.
Okay. And final two questions here. First one, what can people do right now? Do you have any general advice for what people can do right now in our current situation?
I mean, joking aside, listen to what the CDC says. These guys tell the truth. They know what's going on. You know, wash your hands a lot. Don't hang out with people who are sick and cough a lot. Yeah. Wear a mask if you're around someone who's sick. And at this point, the risks here in the U.S. are remarkably low. I'd be loath to travel to Wuhan, perhaps, or Northern Italy.
Yeah.
But short of that, I'd get on with my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And last question here for you. How can a credit union or a financial institution help in this situation? What's their role in all of this?
There are a couple different things they can do. They can first, you know, if people come in for advice on the stock market and so on, they can give them some perspective and long-run history.
Yeah.
They can't advise people what to do. That's beyond their capability. But they can explain that the economy goes up and down, and shocks are a reason why things happen that are negative or positive. It can be both. And this is another one. And in a year or two or three, we won't remember this.
Right.
That's one thing they can do. The second thing they can do is they can look carefully at their customer base. And tell customers who can benefit from refi, for example, hey, we haven't seen you here at the credit union in 6 months or a year or two, and you refied 2 years ago and rates were here and now rates are here, and we can save you $300 a month. That would be good for the consumer. Yep. It would be good for the economy. It would make the credit union look great for their customers, that you're looking out for their best interests. And the on the other side, they can say to good borrowers, businesses, hey, we understand you're suffering through a little bit of bad time here. We're going to work with you as best we can. We're going to help you refinance this, or we're going to reduce your monthly payment, you know, by 10% or whatever credit unions do. I'm not a banker. I don't really know the details here, but work a little bit of forbearance if necessary with their clients that are good risks. Yep. That's an appropriate thing to do too.
Good stuff. All right, Elliot, anything else here to add? I know you got a busy schedule, so I want to be respectful of your time, but thank you very much. Anything else to add here to wrap up?
Hey, I think we'll be okay here. This will be a shock. Q2 is going to look really, really bad. Yeah. But remember, this shock is being driven not by a slow decay in the economy per se, but by a sudden and unexpected hit to our economy. This hit is quite negative in that it hurts consumption. We're afraid to go out and shop. Yeah. And B, it hurts production. We're unable to build and manufacture things that people want to buy. So it's somewhat pernicious. But it could well end up being relatively short. I don't know if that's the case.
Right.
But, you know, these things have, they go up and then they go down. They don't stay high forever. There's really a process to this. So we'll get herd immunity one way or another. There'll be a vaccine that will probably occur. You know, we'll get a vaccine by come next fall, this
right.
fall.
Sure,
there'll probably be a vaccine or something close to it.
Yeah.
So this is a short run problem. But it could end up being much more severe than we think. At this point, it doesn't look to be that way. Although the financial markets could cause it to get worse too. There's a self-fulfilling prophecy, which I hope does not happen, and which the central bank can certainly get ahead of in some extent by lowering rates, and Congress can get active in some fiscal policy, telling people, if your school is closed or your child goes to school, we will cover your health, your child care costs.
Wow.
For those few weeks. If you're at home and lose your job because you're quarantined by force, essentially, yeah. we will give you unemployment benefits or make them bigger because you're a victim of this bad luck circumstance. And we don't want consumption to go down. That's important. There's really a role for government to play here collectively across the board.
Keep the consumption up for sure. All right, Elliot, I'm going to let you.
If you can.
Yeah, if you can. Indeed. Great stuff as always. Look forward to seeing you at a conference somewhere in the country this year if it doesn't.
Absolutely.
So yeah, look forward to it. Appreciate the time as always. Keep up the good work, sir. All right.
Thank you, and same to you. All the best.
Thank you.